This is Fenton Dunn, and you're very welcome. No corporate candy floss news, no political spin. Truth Radio by Internet. Here, the expression is still free. You're on the inside track from breakfornews.com. It's Friday, the 28th of January at 7 p.m. Eastern, and you're very welcome to the inside track on breakfornews.com, sponsored as ever by neemwell.com, your personal source for potent Indian neem. Check them out at neemwell.com, and thanks as ever to Neemwell. And we're going live to Baghdad to Dar Jamail. We've interviewed Dar on the show before. He took a break recently from Baghdad, and he was on the show upon his return to Baghdad. And unlike the major media news anchors, Dar is not reporting live from the rooftop of some hotel or surrounded by US forces. He's out on the streets of Baghdad and around Iraq, embedded, so to speak, with the truth. And he's joining us on the line now. Dar, you're very welcome to Break for News. Thanks for joining us once again on the show. The rest must have done you good, Dar, because since you got back, you've produced an enormous amount of work and some of the best war zone reporting I've ever read.
Oh, thank you very much. I appreciate that.
In fact, you might even appreciate it. I'm sure your Baghdad friends might appreciate a little black humor. Whenever there's a big event on, Dar, you get the really high-class hookers show up. You've got some media whores flying in from the United States to cover this so-called election. Journalistic prostitutes are on the way. It is, however, really a sham election. I was encouraged today to see in the International Herald Tribune a former advisor to Sergio Vieira de Mello, Salim Lone. He wrote about it and he said this should not be allowed in international law for an occupation power to hold what are clearly staged elections.
Yes, and that really is a fitting comment, and it's good that someone out there is making it. It's easy to be feeling like a voice in the wilderness over here, because there is so much mainstream media here, and I have seen them going and finding specific little pockets where there may not be fighting or some sense of normalcy, and showing that is what's really happening here, because it's still been difficult for me to get past the fact that even having this election, the fact that the U.S. came in and as an occupier has changed the laws that exist in this country, which is a direct violation of the Hague Conventions, that it's illegal that it's even occurring, and yet that fact has been bypassed by so many and by most everyone in mainstream media, that is. And here we are on the eve of this election. The occupation is a catastrophe, and this election is already shaping up to be one itself. And in my opinion, based on everything I've been seeing here and all the political goings-on, that it's already very delegitimized even before it occurs.
Indeed it is, and you touched on some of that, the International Republican Institute. And, of course, we also have the National Democratic Initiative, I think it's called. These organizations which have been operating in Iraq are essentially outreach programs by elements of the Republican and Democratic parties in the United States, and they've been handpicking and training their own candidates, meanwhile slipping a lot of funds for expensive TV advertising for Iyad Alawi.
Yes, and there's been countless stories of string pulling behind the scenes, if you will, already. Even just weeks ago, at a press conference that Iyad Alawi held, people working for him were passing out white envelopes with nice, crisp $100 bills for every journalist who attended the conference. And then along those same lines, much more recently, he very generously gave all of the teachers in Iraq a nice $100 bonus. Again, here right on the eve of the election. That occurred, I believe, less than a week ago. So everyone's seeing this. He's being very unashamed about it and not hiding the fact that this is his approach towards this. But Of course, much of this is lost once again by mainstream media reporting.
It's the National Democratic Institute for International Affairs. It really sounds so good, but these groups were active in the Ukraine recently also, and you saw that very well-funded Yushchenko campaign with some really slick marketing. It's the best democracy money can buy, Dar.
It really is, and this one, if we really look at what's going on behind the scenes, is right along those same lines. Even the fact that there are very strong links between Hakim, who is the lead representative for the revered Shia cleric here, Grand Ayatollah Ali al-Sistani, and Hakim has links in the past with the oil industry in the U.S., people in the Bush administration, and so it's not going to be a coincidence that this vote will occur, and of course the majority of people voting will most likely be the followers of Sistani, so they will be voting for the list which Hakim leads. So all of this seems as though the stage has already been set, and this is basically the end game.
Yeah, you described a very interesting stage up in Fallujah when a CNN crew arrived to do some local reporting.
Yes, I have a colleague who recently returned from Fallujah just a few days ago, and he spent a week in the city talking with people and looking at what was happening. And he told me, I spoke with him right when he got back to Baghdad, and he said, you know, I saw nothing but destruction for the week I was there. I did travel around the city a good bit, and everything is destroyed. What people are there are living under horrendous conditions. No water, no electricity, no sewage system, no work. People are essentially in survival mode, disease all over the city, and it's essentially like a concentration camp, as he described. Anyone trying to get in had to get retina scans and fingerprinted and IDs and go through these long checkpoints and get full body searches. And when he was leaving, he saw a large contingent of Humvees. He said 10 to 12 Humvees came in. Basically set up a perimeter in one small market area of the city, and within their ring were a CNN camera crew who was filming troops giving candy to children, and in the background he said it was very odd that these men came out wearing orange vests and began cleaning, sweeping streets, picking up garbage, this sort of thing. He said, you know, in the whole week I was there, I had never seen any of this cleaning going on anywhere, or these men in orange vests, nor had I ever seen any soldiers on the ground. I never saw boots on the ground. They were always either in their Humvees or Bradleys. They never walked around, and they certainly never talked to Iraqis unless they were detaining people or in the middle of some operation. And he said it was just very, very surreal to see this essentially manufacturing this reality that does not exist in Fallujah by a very large media outlet there using the military with their assistance and their aid to do this, to show something that absolutely could not be further from the truth.
Yeah, it really is. It's almost laughable, Dar, when you think of that scene being played out there for the cameras. And as I said, the media biggies are on the way into Baghdad. However, your latest report says that if they're coming in, there's a lot of other people are heading out of Baghdad right now.
That's true. There are so many people who have either relocated within the city because their home, unfortunately, had been situated near a school, which is now turning into a polling station. And so for fear of mortar bombs falling on their home or clashes in their area, they have either relocated to a relative or friend's home in a different part of the city that is further from a polling station, or they've simply packed up, taken what they can, and gone to friends or relatives outside of the city. Some people are even going willing to stay in camps, in essentially refugee camps. So rather than not only do we have Fallujah refugees scattered about central Iraq now, but we have actually election refugees, and there have been checkpoints set up in many of the roads, essentially all of the roads that people have to take in order to exit the capital city, and long queues of cars there as they are all being searched and people being questioned. And as people are going through these queues, The police there are asking them, why don't you stay in Baghdad? Why don't you vote? You should vote. It's your duty. And most people are not listening to them. They are simply leaving. It's as if Baghdad is about to be under siege yet again, like in the invasion, and people have stocked up. And those who are not leaving the city for shelter further away from what they fear will essentially be extremely heavy fighting and violence here. Others have chosen to stay in their homes and stock up on food and water, which I've been witnessing a lot the last few days outside of today. And now the streets today were eerily empty because everyone is hunkering down. Tonight is when the extended hours of the curfew started, so from 7 p.m. on tonight, the roads are essentially clear, and everyone is essentially in their homes waiting to ride out this weekend and hoping things don't get too bad.
Well, I'm standing by the river, but the water doesn't flow. It boils with every poison you can think of. And I'm underneath the streetlight, but the light of joy I know is scared beyond belief. Way down in the shadows, and the perverted fear of violence chokes the smile on every face, and common sense is ringing out the bell. This ain't no technological breakdown, although this is the road. With credit, and there's nothing you can do. That's all just bits of paper flying away from you. Oh, look how well, take a good look what goes down here. You must learn this lesson fast and learn it well. This ain't no upward
Let's just take a reality check. We've got one report out of South African press agency and AFP, which says a missile took down that helicopter. But if that's correct, then we've had in excess of 43 US deaths in the last 48 hours, and they still haven't come clean on the death toll you reported from a bombing today.
It's more of the media blackout, really, because today has been an extremely bloody day yet again. There's been at least two car bombs in Baghdad, one in Bakuba, many clashes up in Kirkuk, excuse me, and a yet another military helicopter has gone down in western Baghdad, but the military has not been forthcoming with releasing casualty figures on that one. There also have been clashes. There have been ongoing military operations where they are continuing to seal different districts of Baghdad. And just within the last 24 hours alone, at least 18 Iraqis have been killed in attacks on polling stations. So it's been another extremely bloody day. But many people are choosing, many of the media outlets, that is, are choosing to overlook this in hopes of basically just focusing more on what's going to happen on Sunday.
This, to me, has every feel of Fallujah. That Fallujah was a desperate miscalculation, and I just suspect that the level of violence may rise now and may stay risen. Do you get that feeling that we're just moving into the out-of-control zone now?
It really is. It just keeps getting more and more surreal here. I continually wonder how much worse can it get here, and then it gets worse, and that has been the ongoing trend ever since I started reporting here in November 2003 is it seems as though it continues to spiral further and further out of control. with each passing day, and now this same scenario is occurring, but it light speed seemingly these last few weeks. And the other factor is that the elections simply are not going to stop this. They're not going to bring back the infrastructure. They're not going to bring back the jobs. And the fact is that this occupation has failed. And the question remains, how many more innocent civilians here die and how many more soldiers die before it does come to an end? Because if the current trends continue, it's simply only going to continue to get worse.
You know, there's a lot of talk about the unwillingness of the Sunnis to participate. And in many ways, the attack on Fallujah indicated that they've backed the Sunnis into a corner. The strategy seems to be to woo the Shiites in the south and declare all-out war on the Sunnis. They've backed the Sunnis into a corner here. They've now literally got nothing to lose.
That's a very good point. And not only that, not only what's happened in Fallujah, but they continue to take these steps forward down this very dark path. Recently, in Al-Dora district of Baghdad, which is, again, another predominantly Sunni area, and there's very much resistance there to the occupation, all of the imams over the last several weeks, in a sort of a quiet, underhanded way, all of the imams at the mosques in that area have been assassinated. And then when people go to find out what happened, or if they've been detained, the people working beneath them, say the other high-ranking officials in that particular mosque, are being detained as well. And then when people go to check on them, they are detained. The family members are detained. So it's been a very calculated, very precise, ongoing tactic to completely push the Sunnis into a corner and try, in essence, to basically brush them aside, keep them under wraps and under control as much as possible in order to bring these elections to being. And if we recall back, the excuse given before the siege of Fallujah began in November was that this military operation was being conducted in order to bring about security and stability for the upcoming election.
Mm-hmm.
And if we look at the results, if that truly was the cause, then the military and the U.S. policymakers have to admit that this was an utter failure, a complete disaster, because it has done nothing but push violence and bloodshed here into a level that we haven't seen before. But if we look at the other aspect of it, what it did succeed in is it did cause most of the Sunni political parties to completely boycott the election, and their followers, of course, as well. And so, of course, they essentially are not taking part. There are a few Sunnis running, but they are essentially not a part of this election and are very much being brushed aside.
I can't really see very much functional difference from a military point of view between what the Serbs did in Srebrenica and what's just been done in Fallujah. It's ethnically based, and it's targeting a specific section of the population.
Yes, this is without a doubt a preposterous level of propaganda for them to say that there has been any reconstruction or rehabilitation in Fallujah. It is simply a death zone at this point. The city has been shattered. I've seen much video footage from within the city, some of it quite recently, and it's horrendous what has occurred there. It's a modern-day Dresden. Families there living in squalor. It's a complete disaster, and who knows when this reconstruction will really even begin, and who knows when people will be allowed to really freely be able to even travel in and out of their own city and try to get on with their lives, which have been completely shattered. It's easy to forget with all of this other violence going on, and I'm guilty of this as well, but to forget about the fact that there remain at least 200,000 refugees from Fallujah still scattered about Iraq, scattered about Baghdad and surrounding cities, and even as far south in Karbala, there are many, many families of Fallujah refugees there, and they can't go back to their city. It will be many months at the minimum before so many of these people can go back, and so many have gone back and then just left in disgust and despair because the city is bombed to the ground, and there's really nothing there functioning, nothing left. And for any media or any policy maker in the U.S. to say that things are going well or they're going better in Fallujah now that the siege is over. It's just outrageous propaganda, because the reality is there's ongoing fighting all around the outskirts of Fallujah on nearly a daily basis. Even just a week ago, this past Thursday a week ago on Eid, a very important religious holiday here for Muslims, people in Fallujah woke up to U.S. warplanes dropping six or eight very large bombs on different locations in the city. The spirit of the people there is completely shattered. I just can't say enough about what has occurred there and the total desolation and, of course, the total PR disaster that this has been for the occupation here. It really has been another version of Abu Ghraib, where Iraqis have seen the heavy-handed tactics here by the military and the policy on the ground and how it has affected people. And any trust or hope that may have been left in them by so many Iraqis has certainly been shattered.
And despair and righteous outrage leads to people joining the resistance. Keep your head down, Dar, and hopefully we'll speak to you after the election.
Yeah, I hope so too. Great talking with you once again.
Thanks very much, Dar.
My pleasure.
And our thanks to Dar Jamil for joining us. And we will be speaking to Dar again after the so-called election. When Saddam was in power, of course, the international media referred to his government as a regime. What they meant was a pseudo-government which maintains its position of power using ruthless military force, torture, executions, and staged elections in which Saddam often got 98-99% of the vote. I wonder what percentage will be dealt up for us. Probably something a bit more credible, but just as spurious. Now, it's been a busy couple of months on breakfornews.com. It got very busy around the time we began to cover the staged election in the United States, and here we are now covering the imminent, equally staged election in Iraq. However, after this weekend, we will be getting back to a bit more of a normal schedule on breakfornews.com. We've got some guests lined up for you next week. We will be speaking to Dar Jamil again. I'm looking forward to that, and also looking forward to some of the people we've lined up for you next week on the Inside Track, and I do hope you can take the time to join us for that. In the meantime, for breakfornews.com, this has been Fintan Dunn reporting.